So today is a service where we encourage and strengthen people, build people up. You know, we have just celebrated Easter, probably about, 70 days ago. And, so what I want to share on this morning is that after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what had occurred after that? And Jesus did not go straight to heaven. He hung around. He wanted his disciples and he wanted people to see him, that he had actually risen from the dead. And so he appeared and he walked with his disciples. He talked with his disciples. And there was even a time when they were in a room and he just walked in without opening the door. How cool would that be? Imagine Jesus walking straight through here right now. Wouldn't that be cool? I'd rather see him than me be here any day of the week. Okay, so that day, right, so days later, they call the day of Pentecost. Okay, Pentecost. Penti meaning 50. Okay, and the day of Pentecost is when God poured out his Holy Spirit upon his believers and power came upon them. And so Jesus says to them, he says, look, don't go anywhere. Just go to Jerusalem and wait. Just wait for the gift that the Father has promised you. Wait. You know, so many times we like to go out, I know I can, go out of my own strength to do things, but wait. Jesus told them to wait, wait, wait. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, I want to read this. This is on the day of Pentecost. You can come up there. There we go. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and that settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. They were all together. They were in one place. 50 days later, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this mighty thing occurs. Everyone were together. This message today, it is practical, it's relevant, and it's so personal. It is very, very personal. You know, why didn't God just send the Holy Spirit after Jesus rose from the dead? Why not after the second or the third day? Why not straight away? Why didn't they just get on and get on with the mission and the purpose? And Jesus stayed with them a lot longer. Jesus went around proving the resurrection, sharing more about the kingdom of heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, at one point he was eating with them. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized you with water, but just in a few days you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, the time has come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom. So the believers, many of them, they were all baptized in water. They all believed in Jesus Christ. But there was more. There was the power from God. They needed power from heaven. The disciples were asking Jesus, when they're with him, who is going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus replies, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." So basically, he's telling them, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted with things on the earth. Don't get distracted with when I'm coming back. Don't get distracted with things that are not important. Don't get distracted. God knows what he's doing. But in verse 8, he says to me, puts him back on track. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses, telling people everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So first of all, he says Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is right here, our town, where we are today. It can be Fremantle, our outer line areas, Judea, the whole of Australia, to Samaria. Could be overseas, further afield. Samaria was a place where they were half-breeds. They were a mixture of Arabs and Jewish. So Jesus came, he died on the cross for us. He poured out his blood for us. But the amazing thing is this. He tells them, "I want you to go to every nation. I want you to cross every racial barrier. I want you to cross every culture, because my gospel is for everyone. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for the Gentiles, but it's for everybody. Everybody." So God's ultimate purpose for us, for his church, is to take the gospel to everybody, to your family. Do you know, I had three kids. They're all not home now. It was tough raising kids. It was tough. But you know what? Do you know who helped me? God. God helped me. God helped me how to teach my kids, how to raise my kids. Had an amazing wife who was very good. There was times I was stuck. But we need, tell me, we need wisdom. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. And sometimes as Christians, we don't rely on the Holy Spirit. We think, "Oh, I can do this," and we go away. We do things in our own strength, but not in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the power of God. God wants to baptize us. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, it goes on and it says that continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a once-off thing. It is a continual thing, a daily time. We need to be filled with God's presence every day of our lives. I once had a call to visit a family who the husband had died. And they had two teenage children and one little one, like 3 or 4 years of age. And they didn't know how to tell the young child. So they asked me to do it. And I didn't know how to do it. I'll be honest, I had no idea. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? But I asked God, and I said, "God, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. And I, Holy Spirit, I need you. How do I go about this?" So I asked, and in my mind, I had this picture, and I had some words. I thought, "Okay, I know you've got me. You've got this." And I was able to sit with a young child who was playing with his toys and talk about his dad and how he wasn't coming home. And we talk some more and more and more. We need the wisdom of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Many of us are like, Nikki Gumbel's analogy, and he talks about a pilot light, and you've got the big booster, you know, the water, and the pilot light. Now, many of us just have this pilot light, and we live just with this little flicker of light. But when the heat comes on, it's kaboom, and it lights up and it fires everything up. You know, God wants us in that place where we are enthused with His Holy Spirit. We're enthused with His presence. We're enthused with His love. God is love. Jesus is love. The Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is love. How do we reach our community? How do we reach? You know, not everyone's going to go to the nations or the world. I know that. But God calls us. The ultimate purpose of God for us is to reach the people that we are around. Your family. Your community. Your workplace. Wherever you are. But it's a tough gig. But it can be done with the Holy Spirit. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And today you can receive that. Why not you? Why not me? Why not today? Today you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, why not me? Why not you? Why not today? God wants you to be filled with His Holy Spirit today. Today. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. You know, we sang that song, Lord, make room for you. Do we really mean that? Are we serious? Look, it's really nice to come to church. You know, we come, it's beautiful, it's warm, it's comfortable. We go home. But, you know, there's some really important things that we need to also think about. And Christianity is not always comfortable. Who wants a Christianity that's comfortable? Or do you want a Christianity, a Jesus that is alive and wants to touch people next to you where you can see lives transformed like we saw this morning? How beautiful and amazing was that? There's going to be more people that get water baptized. There's going to be more new people from our community coming in to know more about Jesus. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses telling people everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that time of the year, those 50 days after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, why was it 50 days after? God is such a genius. God is just incredible. Because that time was the time that many of the nations came to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. They would come and bring offerings into Jerusalem. And there were, let me read this. Acts chapter 5. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages had been spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. They are from Parthia, Medes, Elamites, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Perga, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome. So God brings those nations to Jerusalem. They hear the mighty sound. They go running to see what's going on. You know, God has brought nations to Australia. I actually don't even have to go to Samaria. I don't have to go. God has brought nations here, to Perth, to Fremantle, to where you live, to where you work. Every nation. Please, please, when you see someone who is so different, so different. Doesn't matter what they're wearing. Please love them. Please be kind to them. Please be kind to them. Jesus loves everyone from every race, from every religion, whatever it. We're here to be kind and share the gospel, share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we do that by example. We have some beautiful people that come into Port Care from many of the nations of the world, from many of the cultures, and we help them, we bless them. Some of them are single mums with many kids, and we give them those fruit and veggie boxes, and they help themselves with bread and many other things. They are really, really beautiful. You get some that rub you the wrong way. Really, you do. You do. You want to, like, take them to the baptismal font and go, let me baptize you, young man, old man. Oh, dear Lord. Okay. So be kind. Don't be afraid of people that are different to us. You have the Holy Spirit within you to be nice, to be kind. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to just jump some things here, and I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 to 16 to 22, please. Can we do that one? When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are filled with God. And God wants to help us with our own personal lives. He wants to help us overcome whether they are prejudices, whatever it may be that you're struggling with in your life today, maybe anxiety. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, when He comes within us, He comes with His peace, He comes with His joy. No, not anxiety. He doesn't bring anxiety. He doesn't bring fear. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's the place where God wants us in. That when we are filled and baptized in His Holy Spirit, He helps us live out and work within our personality and our attitudes. Okay, let's have a look at this. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Am I got the right one? Sorry. Galatians 15, 16 to 22. Okay. It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God, let's keep going. Galatians, is that chapter 5? That's the wrong, sorry, that's 10 to 13. Can I have 16? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Can you go straight to 16 to 22, please? Sorry. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your patience. Okay, we're going to go to verse 20. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what God's Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that among living, that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces. But the Holy Spirit in us produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So God wants to produce within us the joy, patience, kindness, fruitfulness. Then there are also the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give to us. There are many gifts. Many gifts of God's Holy Spirit. They are in Corinthians. Let me have a read. Let's read that one. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who attributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift the person should have. God has gifts for us to use. The gifts are to help build the house of God. The gifts are to help build into each other's lives, to encourage, to build each other up. We stand. Let's close our eyes. Peter got up and spoke to them all. And he said to all the people, We hear all these speaking in our languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. Peter then steps forward with the 11 apostles and shouts to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews, residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted a long time ago by the prophet Joel. He reminds them. And he says to them, remember in the prophet Joel, God says in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I'll cause wonders in the heaven above and signs below. And it goes on to say, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.